Thank you for listening to KHSU. I'm Wendy Butler. It's Tuesday, the 5th of February, 2019. You found Art Waves. Later on today's program, I'm going to play a song that I believe connects thematically to education. Thinking creatively in that setting versus the sterility of a classroom without creative thought. And the topic of discussion today with my guests is arts education. But it's not simply about preserving art making in schools. My guests are Virginia Wood, Education Outreach Coordinator for Humboldt Arts Council in the Morris Graves Museum of Art. Virginia is also chair of Humboldt Arts Now Community, formerly Humboldt Alliance for Arts Education. Also here is Stacy Young, Visual and Performing Arts Program Manager for Humboldt County Office of Education. In December, Stacy was on Art Waves, and at that time she spoke about the $2.3 million grant that the County Education Office has just received from the Federal Department of Education to fund an arts and creativity initiative for the region. During that interview, we didn't have time to talk about the recent rewrite of the Humboldt County Strategic Arts Plan. Today, that's where we begin. Let's talk about the Strategic Arts Plan. Strategic Arts Plan, what is the title of the does it have a title other than Strategic Arts Plan? What is this animal?
We call it the Humboldt County Strategic Arts Plan, and it was the rewrite that had been started with the Humboldt Alliance for Arts Education in 2007 when Linnea Mandel was the chair of that organization. So we took that document and with the assistance of the California Arts Alliance and the Humboldt Arts Now community and a bunch of community members and educators and students, we brought people together to work on it. And it became a very large document that's very encompassing of what the county office will do and what we recommend districts do for students.
Is this an arts plan that is approved by the Board of Education? I mean, is it something that needs to go to the board for approval?
Our Board of Education accepted it as a document that it's a working document. So it isn't like a policy necessarily, but it was presented to the Humboldt County School Board. And then Virginia has spearheaded having it rolled out by Arts Now community members to every single one of our 31 school districts. So she can tell you more about that.
Yeah, because, please do, Virginia, because before it was presented to the Board of Education, Humboldt Arts Now community rewrote this strategic arts plan.
Right, like Stacy said, we rewrote it with teachers, students, community arts organizations, superintendents. We really wanted to bring together a diverse group of people to be included in it. Something else that was occurring at the same moment that we were rewriting the arts plan was a survey of all of our district superintendents. So we included the question that we started the survey with, which was, in 3 to 5 years, arts in Humboldt County schools will look like what, you fill in the blank. So we took superintendent feedback into consideration in writing that in hopes that, you know, the plan will be accepted and used by each district.
Well, first of all, what year was the plan finalized?
Last year, 2018.
It was just finalized. Mm-hmm. Now, this open-ended question, what will arts look like in 3 to 5 years in schools? Was that the question? And so what sort of feedback did you receive?
It's really very diverse populations. It's interesting, you know, when I go to these meetings in Sacramento and they talk about your district arts coordinator. Well, that's Virginia and I. We have so many school districts. We have 31 public school districts in our county, and not one of them has a visual and performing arts district coordinator. We're lucky if they have visual and performing arts teachers at every school site. And so we really wanted it to be a document that was helpful to them to make it look like how they wanted to roll out arts for their students. You know, it is in the Ed Code that every child every week gets dance, theater, music, and visual art, but it's not funded. And when it's not funded and not tested, then it doesn't get that kind of time.
And so, Virginia, when we talk about rewrite, what issues did you focus on? Did Humboldt Arts Now community focus on?
So the plan ended up having 7 sections that include curriculum, facilities and resources. Professional development for teachers was a big one. We discovered that there are a lot of teachers out there who have earned their credentials since the Ryan Act, who did not get visual or performing arts as part of their credential program. So they don't feel comfortable leading these programs in their school.
Did you say the Ryan Act?
Correct.
What is the Ryan Act?
The Ryan Act simply took away having arts as part of getting a teaching credential.
Oh, okay. And so it was some kind of a legal act of some kind that took it?
Yeah, from the late 70s.
From the late 70s. Yeah. Okay. All right. If I was familiar with it, I no longer am familiar with it. And so you can get your teaching credential, but you do not.
It's not a requirement to have to take any visual performing or music classes.
Well, let's go back to you're talking about the different parts of the strategic arts plan that it's divided into. Can you elaborate on some of these parts, things that you consider to be things that Humboldt Arts Now community consider to be really important that they are written and in there?
Well, for example, I consult with districts when they're looking at their LCAPs, which is the Local Control Accountability Plan, which is how they determine the funding that's received from the state. And having this arts plan helps to articulate for them the goals and objectives they're required to meet at the state level. And so I can consult with them. And so, for instance, that happens to be in there on resources, that I am a consultant to them if they have that need. Or professional development. When we speak of professional development, we're talking about the classroom teacher who might be teaching an art lesson, or we're talking about the art teacher who needs additional professional development. And so we either facilitate that or offer it at the county office. And so those are some of the things that the county office has said, we will do this for our districts. And then what we would have written on the other side is a recommendation that a district offers a substitute so that a teacher can go to professional development training.
So, Virginia, you have visited as a teacher, a teacher of art, you have visited virtually all of the schools in Humboldt County, and there are 85 schools in the county. What stands out for you as issues, you know, difficult things in terms of having art in the classroom, having it taught, and also what are the positive things that you've noticed in the various schools?
Okay, so and again, going back to professional development, I think that's an issue, not having the arts as part of the teaching credential program is an issue because teachers aren't feeling comfortable teaching it. North Coast Arts Integration Project is doing a great job of training teachers, and I think that's helping them to feel more comfortable. But I would say that just teachers' comfort level and their experiences or lack of experiences in art. And then, like you said, you know, each school is at a different place. It has its own culture. One thing I find is difficult for me, and not right or wrong, but I might go to a sixth grade class at one school and they're operating at sixth grade standards. I might go to another school, they're operating at seventh grade standards. And then I go to another school and they have not had the elements of art, and they're really at the basic, you know, kindergarten standards, although the students are at a higher level. So I guess for me as an art educator, that can be a challenge to know exactly, not being their classroom teacher, to know exactly what level they'll be at, and if they've had introduction to the elements of art, The studio habits of mind, those kinds of things. So one positive thing is that the students are really excited when I get there. I, like I mentioned, get to go back multiple times to many of these schools, and the students are just so excited when I enter the room that they're getting art in their classroom. And one positive of that is that it creates an environment that they want to come back to. They're excited to come to school and be able to do their arts lessons.
I'll get back to Stacey. I know you were going to say something. Go ahead and add what you were going to add, and then I'm going to. Virginia said something I want to expand on too.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So, Virginia, you said sometimes, even though academically, say students are doing seventh grade work, they might not have had the introduction to basics of art making. And so when you go in, and if you have that kind of situation, what kind of things do you bring with you to help and engage them, particularly if they know nothing about basics of art making?
So I create PowerPoint presentations with visual aids and sometimes videos. When I go out to a school, if I discover that as I'm introducing a lesson, students don't have that introduction to the elements of art or a strong arts background, then we just go back. You know, we will start with those elements of art. I work really hard to tie the elements of art into all the lessons, even if they're at a higher level, just to reinforce that curriculum.
Virginia Wood, Education Outreach Coordinator for Humboldt Arts Council in the Morris Graves Museum of Art. And she's also chair of Humboldt Arts Now Community. Also here is Humboldt County Office of Education Visual and Performing Arts Program Manager, Stacy Young, who speaks first in this next segment. I'm Wendy Butler, and you've got Art Waves on KHSU. And Stacy?
I was going to say, we had mentioned the Ryan Act earlier. You also have to remember that there's Proposition 13 that happened in the mid-70s. And so you're looking at a generation of teachers and administrators that may not have had arts themselves as a student in California. And I started teaching music in California in 1991. And I started teaching before there were standards for music. So I got to teach whatever I wanted to teach. And it was a really exciting time. And yet, I look back on those years and I wonder, you know, they certainly got a lot of performance from me, but did they get the standards and the foundations of music that they might've needed to have lifelong music if they weren't playing in an ensemble? So, you know, those are some really interesting questions that we have to look at. We went through this whole period of No Child Left Behind and then testing, and where testing is so important. And so now we're looking at a culture in our schools where they want to see the arts festival, they want to see the gallery, they want to see the performance on the stage. And what's really critical about arts is that journey. It's the iterative process. It's the creativity. And what ends up being shown or mailed to grandma or, you know, up on the stage isn't necessarily the most important thing about the art making.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong about this, Stacy, but January 25th deadline for the Arts and Creativity Initiative, the time of this interview, the day of this interview, was the deadline for teacher interest forms.
Yes, but we are still, it's taking a little longer than we thought to get out to each school. So, for example, we're going to be out at Morris Elementary next week recruiting teachers. And Bill Funkhauser, my partner in this work, has just returned from Lake and Mendocino counties and is going to Del Norte in February. So we still have time for teachers to be involved.
So the Arts and Creativity Initiative, I really want to connect if I can, and maybe I think that it's possible to do so. We've got a strategic arts plan.
Yes.
We've got the Arts and Creativity Initiative, but we've got Create Humboldt.
Yes.
And we've got the North Coast Integration Project.
Yes.
All of these things, even though they come from with different funding sources, they are all connected.
They are very connected, particularly with personnel. They cross over a lot. Bill Funkhauser was involved in every single one of those grants. Heather Guerra is continuing with Create Humboldt, but it was Heather Guerra and Bill Funkhauser that were the first in on the North Coast Arts Integration Project, which will be sunsetting this year and is being overseen by Sarah Peters and Deanna Fletcher now. And so then next we have the Create Humboldt, which is in its second year, and they are working with Eureka City School Elementary Schools. They're working with Hoopa Elementary School. They're working with Arcata Elementary School, Ambrosini, and South Fortuna Elementary School. So they're in those areas. And so the new grant, the Arts and Creativity Initiative, is not focusing on the schools that have already received this work, but it's right. based on everything that they've learned from the last two grants.
And all of this is about getting arts in the schools.
Yes.
I mean, and it's about, and it's not just getting arts in the schools, it's providing professional development.
Yes.
For teachers who might have one, you know, elementary school teachers who just have the one classroom, the one group of students all day.
Right.
Finding out how they can incorporate art into art in and of itself, but also art with other academic subjects.
Right. I mean, art lends itself to be the vehicle for other learning. You learn more about all sorts of content areas when you're doing it through arts. And so it's allowing students the voice to demonstrate their understanding. And what's exciting is that instead of just having a series of professional developments where someone comes to a workshop with a bunch of other teachers, and it's great, don't get me wrong, but that doesn't necessarily change teaching practice, because it's one thing to see a lesson with a bunch of teachers that are willing to be there. And it's another thing to think, how am I going to do this with my classroom, with my sink, with my, you know, you name it, with my situation. And so what's great about the Create Humboldt and the Arts and Creativity Initiative is we're sending teaching artists into classrooms to help coach teachers in these lessons so that they can continue to do them after the grant funding goes away.
And Virginia, as an individual who goes and teaches art and has been doing so for several years, expand on this or correct me if I'm wrong on this. The thing that I have noticed, the energy that has happened in the last several years, is it's become more than just making sure that students can make art in school. It's connecting further art with other academic subjects so that it's not looked at as, oh, are we going to have art or not have art? We have art no matter what we do.
Right. So the arts integration piece, I do think, is important. For me, I mean, I think that's how I think of education. We teach it siloed into these little compartments, but that's not really how we experience life. So I do think that art, as Stacey was saying, is a really powerful vehicle for students to express what they've learned, to express their opinions and have their voices heard. And that's important to the Arts Now community, is that their voices are heard and that we are suiting students' needs.
I think an important shift with creative education is, as Virginia pointed out, that, you know, that is not, we don't experience life in silos. But furthermore, we have gotten our students so used to wanting the right answer so they can bubble it in and move on. And arts is iterative. You have to keep changing it. You have to keep looking at it. You don't necessarily turn in or feel like you're done with the very first thing that you've done. That's why there's rehearsals for the performances, and that's why there's all these changes that you do when you're making something. And so I think when we're looking at what do students need for these jobs that we don't know what they will be in 20 years, they need to be creative. And that's what every Fortune 500 company has said. We need creative, collaborative people, and that's what the arts do.
And finally, youth programs. Youth programs at the Morris Graves Museum of Art?
Because
this is also a continuation of the art making opportunities.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have our mini master's program, which is connecting literacy to arts, how art and literacy can support each other. And that's for children 2 to 8 years old, really looking at those early literacy skills. On the second Saturday of every month, we have our Family Arts Day program, which is an opportunity for families to come, view an exhibition, and then make art that's either based off the subject matter or the technique of that artist. We have after-school art classes. We just started our winter session, but we'll be starting our spring session March 27th. We also have camps when kids are out of schools. We'll have one during President's Week, which is the week of February 18th. As well as summer camps coming up this summer. So lots of opportunities for youth. And teachers are always welcome to submit youth gallery exhibition proposals. We have a gallery dedicated to showing youth art.
And how often does the Humboldt Arts Now community have meetings? And is the public invited to attend one?
So we have them about 4 or 5 times a year, and we're always looking for more members. Anybody can shoot me an email. My contact info is on the Humboldt Arts page, virginia@humboldtarts.org. And I'd love to incorporate any community member or parent that wants to help advocate for arts education.
And finally, to submit interest in being involved with the Arts and Creativity Initiative, would that be artsintegration.net?
Yes, they can find it there as well.
Stacy Young, Humboldt County Office of Education, Visual and Performing Arts Program Manager. Also here has been Virginia Wood, the Education Outreach Coordinator for Humboldt Arts Council in the Morris Graves Museum of Art. And she's also chair of Humboldt Arts Now Community. And this is Art Waves.
Here's a song called Measuring Cups. Get out your measuring cups and we'll play a new game. To the front of the class and we'll measure your brain. Give you a complex and we'll give it a name. Get out your measuring sticks and we'll play a new game. Can't have the cream when the crop and the cream are the same. Liquid or gas, no more than the glass will contain. We talk about the hand of glory. Tell this rather grim and gory. Is it just another children's story that's been declawed? When the tales of brothers grim and gory have been outlawed, they've been outlawed. Bum, 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 bum. Things are gonna make you start over. You don't wanna start over. Put your backpack on your shoulder. Be the good little soldier. Take your places now, cause we're all predisposed, okay? Measuring cups, play a new game. In front of the class and we'll measure your brain. Give you all complex and well, we're gonna give it a name. No. Talk about a hand of glory. Tell us rather grim and gory. Is it just another children's story that's biblical? When the tales of brothers grim and gory have been outlawed. Oh, put your bagpipe on your shoulder. Be the good little soldier. It's no different when you're older. You read the score. That's all the questions now. Case up. Closed.
That was the song Measuring Cups, and it's Andrew Bird, and it was the live version of the song found on his 2005 album titled The Mysterious Production of Eggs. And that's Art Waves for today. I'm Wendy Butler, producer, engineer, and host. Art Waves is produced here at KHSU, which is on the campus of Humboldt State University. The program airs each Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. You can listen anytime online at khsu.org. And podcasts of the program are available for download from iTunes. Until next time, thank you for listening.